And then we have, for the first time, we have one of the children who has grown up at the orphanage who's narrating the story and telling about the different things that are happening. Another thing to watch out for on the video, you're going to be introduced to Terra Nova. Terra Nova is our new piece of land that we're developing to continue to grow, because we're about to burst at the seams at our current project. So as we grow, we're going to need more land. So watch out for that section of the video. And then I'm sure many of you heard and prayed about what happened with us in March when we were hit by a terrible storm that did a lot of devastation. So you're going to see that on video, and then also see the Lord's provision, because there's a number in there of the amount that we needed to restore the damaged portions. And all of that was raised in 2 weeks, and God was just amazing. So Tom's hard at work with that. Yes. Another. So great things are happening. I would like you to see the video now. Please pray that the projector cooperates, Lord. And then you'll be able to see the video. If not, you get to hear me talk.
Thank you. because my mom was sick and she couldn't take care of me that she died. And my dad ran away and my aunt brought me here because she couldn't take care of me. I wasn't healthy. I didn't get enough food. My hands and legs and whole body were swollen. I'm happy here because I play with my brothers and sisters, and mommy and daddy show me love.
Thank you for helping the cousin be orphaned. I'll see you later. Bye.
Cousin Bay Orphanage exists to save the lives of these precious children. We are doing more than saving them. We are giving them the opportunity to thrive. These children are the future of Zambia. You, too, have the chance to become partners in this amazing work by sponsoring a child or donating to our upcoming projects. God bless you.
It starts again.
We made it through it,
huh? Yay! Hallelujah! And didn't Troy do a great job? You can stand up and take a bow, Troy. He would actually like to do this as part career, even part ministry. He's made a few videos for missionaries in Zambia. So he's been, while he's been here with me, and I've been kind of traveling around the country, he's been working little odd jobs with his uncle and different people to save up for a Mac laptop that he can then take to different missionary projects and make videos for them. So we'll see what the Lord does with him and what he's doing. So anyway, it was exciting, right? All that's been happening at the orphanage. And, you know, all the different changes and the way the kids are growing up. You know, when we took all of these children came to us, you know, some snuck in at about 3 years old, but most of them were infants or up to two years old. And look how big they are now, reading and writing. We've got kids finishing up their first grade and heading into, I've got to actually make a new book order because they're ready to start second grade. And we have got a new curriculum for them that's really perfect for our situation because it allows the children that are older and do well with academics to fly through their work, and the ones that are slower and maybe have learning disabilities can go at their own pace. So we have some of the older ones that are probably going to be finishing two grades in each year until they get caught up where their grades and age match. So, and we've got some younger ones that are just, you know, going at their pace and doing their best. So it's very exciting to see how much they're growing up. What questions do you have after seeing that? I know there's a lot of information in there and a lot that we've already shared with you. You know how we work. And at the back, I've got handouts that will tell you some of the things that we're trying to accomplish this year. One of the big things we needed to raise funds for this year is for a girls' cottage. It's kind of been on our list every year, sort of, oh, we need a girls' cottage. But then something else would happen. Well, we really need a classroom more, or, you know, the roof really needs to be repaired, or these different things. But this year, it's an absolute priority because we have 9-year-old girls. They're tall. They're getting, going to be my height, which I know is not a big stretch, but still, they're getting big. And they're in preschool bunks still. And then we have 5-year-olds that are still in cribs in the nursery because we just haven't had a way to do that flow without the girls' cottage. But somebody has stepped forward and is going to cover the cost of that girls' cottage. So that's paid for. So we've got other things on that list now, a second classroom for our elementary students. We need a bunch of different other items. So please pick up a paper and you're going to kind of see the things that we are working on this year. Yes, go ahead.
The farm,
we've got that one greenhouse there, and it is now producing 2 to 3 boxes, like big crates of tomatoes every week. As well as outside, that greenhouse comes as a kit. So it comes with the greenhouse supplies and then drip irrigation, which we've connected to a solar pump to get water straight out of the river and come up, and it drips irrigation through the greenhouse, but also on an outside plot for vegetables that aren't so sensitive to the environment. And so we're growing cabbages and squashes and all sorts of things out there as well. So the goal is to probably complete and have about 5 or 6 of those greenhouses going, because at the moment, the tomatoes that Tom is producing, as he drives just the 1.5 hours from the new land up to Gazembe Orphanage, women are flagging him down and fighting over the tomatoes. So we could easily sell way more than we're producing at the moment. So that's a big investment for the future that we would like to make. So then the 120 fruit trees, they're doing really well. And then over the next few years, we will be moving older kids onto that farm, because we need a place where these big kids can use up their energy and, you know, and learn skills and get some stuff done. And we want them collapsing into bed at night, you know, exhausted, so they can stay out of trouble, right? Anybody who has teenagers knows the importance of that. Get those kids out onto a farm.
Especially the boys.
Yes, especially the boys. So that's what's going on with the farm. And then what we're working to do this year as well is to find more and more people to partner up with us in the sponsorship of the children, because, you know, we have to, we employ 20 people from the local village to help care in the care and running of the orphanage. We have utilities, we've got gas, we've got groceries, you know, all of this that goes into running a household. Many organizations that care for orphans do out programs. You know, the children come in for a meal and they get education, but they go home at night. This is a residential program, and it's not easy to, you know, meet budget for that. And so we encourage people to partner up and sponsor a child and, you know, give a minimum of $50 donation or even more if you can. And what that does is not only does it provide the finances that we need for the orphanage, but it connects you with a child. And you're going to be able to watch that child grow up over the next, you know, 18 years as they grow and find their way. And when with the children that we have, the older they get, the more we're finding out that being an orphan comes with wounds that are not so easy for a child to heal and to deal with. And so the more people that we can find to stand alongside them and pray with them and talk with them and, you know, write them and encourage them, the greater connection that they're going to feel and the more grounded they'll feel, and not they won't feel their loss of their original family so much. So if at the back we've got a list of children who have not had sponsorship until this year, up till now they have not received sponsorship, and then all the children around, they're all just partially sponsored. So if there's a child that, you know, you've been following, we've been writing in our newsletters, and you've seen their picture and you would like to connect with them more, let me know. We've got pledge cards at the back, and you can, you know, see what the Lord would like you to do, because we're all called to care for the fatherless. That is our job, to care for the fatherless and the widows. And so we just each have to respond to that command in the best way that we can. Yes?
Do they call you Mommy and Daddy? I noticed they call you Mommy and Tom Daddy.
Yes, we are Mommy and Daddy. Yes.
Explain to them.
As they get older, we have to explain to them, because if they come in as babies, they don't, that's, you know, meaningless to them. And all of the ladies that look after them, the nannies that come in from the village, are aunties. So we kind of, you know, try to have it be like a family situation. So, or I guess in America you say aunties. Sorry. I grew up overseas. It's aunties to me. Yeah. And, you know, any male volunteers, they're uncles. And we try to have that family feeling. And we did the little girl Beauty, actually, that did the video. We have family day every Saturday. Their extended families are invited to come in and check on them and see how they're doing and connect with them. We want them to maintain those family ties. But she went to her nanny and asked, "I see my daddy come from time to time, but why doesn't my mommy come?" And so the nanny didn't know how to answer that. So she came to me and I said, "Just bring her to me and I'll talk to her." So she brought her in and she was crying. And it was the really sad kind of cry where it's just one little tear going down the face and your heart just breaks. And so I said, "Well, your mommy died. She was sick and she died." And she cried some more. And then I explained to her, you know, we've become your family and we're going to look after you now. And then, you know, we went on to talk about other people that have left, because, you know, it is hard for our children to have volunteers come in and go out. You know, we love it and they connect really well, and it brings so much joy to the project and new experiences. But it is hard for the kids to have to say goodbye so many times. So we talked about people who have come and gone. We have had repeat volunteers that come in and out. And then I said, "Well, do you know who will never, ever leave you?" She said, "Yes, it's Jesus." And it was just, you know, it's those moments that we live for, that, you know, we're setting these kids' feet on the right path But it isn't easy for them. You know, she was, I think, probably 6 when she had to tackle those questions. So we do have to, you know, as each child grows up, they have to reconcile with that on their own. Yes?
Amy, could we get Tammy and TJ to give us about 2 minutes of what it was like for them growing up over there? And Troy, too.
Okay. Well, let's bring Timmy up here for a minute, and we're going to have him tell you. You can all come up. All 3 of you can come up here. Timmy just graduated yesterday with his associate's degree from San Jacinto College, so you can give him a hand. Accomplishment. TJ already has his associate's degree and is at UHCL. Timmy will be transferring there in the fall. So what are some of your memories? You don't have your mic, so you're going to have to just project.
I was there, 9 years, I think, right? About 9
yeah.
years. And, I mean, how can you describe 9 years in Africa? I mean, you know, always seeing all sorts of crazy stuff with animals and growing up, going on buses and, you know, just, I don't know, it's hard to quantify your childhood, and, you know.
In 2 minutes.
But I don't know. What do you think, Tim?
I think the whole cultural difference really influenced all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go there and you're influenced by so many different aspects of Africa, between, you know, trying to do your school and, hey, there's a snake outside, come and try to kill it. You're like, well, what's that? Or, you know, all the crazy storms they have to go through. The weather is very, you know, erratic and crazy out there. So, you know, it's just a complete adventure, to say the least. Yeah, sure.
What's been interesting too is the boys had different babies came in at different times when, you know, as they're growing up, and these babies will sometimes come to us very, very sick, and we have to, you know, pour our hearts and souls and energies into getting them better again. And we, you know, and we haven't always been able to save all of them, and I think that's made a big impact on our kids as well. To, you know, very, very few people in the States come up close and personal with death. And, you know, and each of our kids have had that experience and have held babies in their arms and prayed over them, but yet Jesus still took them home. So I think that caused them to grow up. But they also have their little ones that came in during their time, maybe just before they left, that they kind of consider theirs. TJ's is Peter. He was the little one that came in, and Peter's now 5. And Timmy's is Naomi, or we call her the gnome, because she sometimes when she was a baby she looked like a little garden gnome, and so we called her the gnome. And so they have their little connections. But Troy's still there. So how do you feel about it, Troy?
Yeah, it's different, you know, different than the normal life.
And the interesting thing about having, you know, 6 children is it's going to be just so exciting. They were raised in such a unique environment, and I know definitely that God has a call on their lives of something, but what that is and, you know, what that's going to look like, nobody knows yet, and it's just going to be so interesting to see their lives develop. And, you know, they do reach out within their community here in the States and have, you know, done their volunteering and worked at their churches and things. So it will never leave them. That experience will always have an impact on the choices that they make through life. Right. Anything more? You
can sit down. I know that it's been, what, 10 years now?
Well, that is a story yet to be written, because since we only take in babies, our oldest is now only 10. So we don't know yet what impact it will have.
Oh, okay.
So it's still exciting to look forward to.
Because I kept thinking, you know, maybe you might have had others, but I know that you had just babies
yes.
to begin with.
Yes. So all of the ones that we have lived with us from the beginning. We have had none graduate yet, but we're looking up to that. In 8 to 10 years, we're going to have graduates.
Yeah. Okay.
So it'll be, yes, stay tuned.
It flies.
Yes, it does.
You mentioned weather. I know that they have rainy season.
Ours is November through April is rain. So we have pretty continuous rains for about 5-6 months, and then we have about 6 months of dry. And it's cold. When it's dry, it's cold at the beginning, and then it gets very, very hot, and then the rains start again. So up in our area, in lower, in the other parts of farther south in Zambia, they get less rain than we do. They have it mainly maybe November to March. We have it sometimes even as early as September all the way through April and even into May. So we get quite a bit of rain. And then it, when it's dry, it just it is dry. It doesn't rain at all.
Did you say a little while ago that the greenhouses come in kits?
Yes.
So you purchase a kit?
Uh-huh.
And how large is that kit?
That greenhouse is 8 yards by 24 yards. So 24 feet by 75 feet, yeah.
And you have how many of those now?
Just one. We've just got the one kit. We would like to get, I can't remember if he wanted a total of five or five more, but that's what we're working to get. $6,000 apiece.
$6,000 apiece.
Yes. Yes. This is a man with big visions and big faith.
Yes. He serves a big God, too.
He does, and God has met him every way, and so, you know, that's long term, though. We may end up, you know, adding one or to a year, or we may find a foundation out there that encourages self, you know, like sustainable growth in developing nations, and then that can just do a grant for the whole thing. So we don't know how the Lord will provide, but I know He will.
Where is this Terra Nova? How far is it from where you are now?
An hour and a half drive. So I'm thinking 60 miles, maybe.
It looks like a garden. Was that lush? You're planning on moving the whole thing there?
Over the next 20 years, yes.
How many acres is that?
Yeah.
How many acres?
We have 60 acres right now.
60 acres.
Yes.
Is that waterfall?
Yeah, the waterfall is down at the end of the 60 acres, so it's not technically on our property, but we have the possibility of getting the next 60 acres as well, which would mean, but we would have access to that. We want to do water turbines to create electricity as well. We would like to stay off the grid and do solar, do water. We have plans to try and build a methane tank to do all of our cooking off of methane. So whether that means piping all of the houses' waste into one tank or using, like, bucket systems, I don't know. We haven't figured it all out yet, but we have big plans.
What's on the 60 acres now? Just pasture land?
It's just field, just bush. Yeah, just scrub brush. We have the trees planted, the 120 trees planted, and then the greenhouse with the garden. So, okay. Did you have a question back there?
Yes, these 30 children that you have, these are legally adopted by you, and are legally their parents?
They're foster children. We are essentially they're caring for them because the government essentially has charge of them, and we are their foster parents. Is how it works. And it's the orphanage that's doing that. Unfortunately, they're not available for adoption, pretty much, because in order for them to be adopted, every family member needs to sign off on it. And they won't do that because it's an investment in their future. They want financial dividends from these children in, you know, 10, 20 years.
What's the age that you can keep them?
Until they're 18.
They'll
probably stay with us. I think, like, the paperwork from the family members is 18. The government, I think, recognizes it as lasting till 21. So, you know, I don't think that anybody's going to have a problem with us continuing their education.
Because I know that's can be a problem here in the States.
Yeah, and our goal with this curriculum that we're using is that, you know, like I said, they can go at their own paces, and they have to, every book that they complete, they have to get 90% on it, and they can't move forward until they've done that. So you know that they know the material. Now, when they get up to eighth grade, we can then choose. If you've had a child that you have just, they've had to do every book two times, and it's been just difficult to get them, we will then start them on a vocational path so that when they graduate from high school, they have a trade or a skill. If they have done well, they can do academics. And if they can do exceptionally well, they can choose advanced academics so that they will, those in academics will graduate with a certificate or a diploma, either an advanced diploma or a regular diploma, and they will be able to then go into university or college with those. So we have big plans for them.
Do you teach all the grades?
No, we have volunteers that come in to do that. I have done it. At the moment, my work has been primarily administration and just coordinating everything. I do get into the classroom as much as I can because I love it. But I also have to keep everything else running. So we do have volunteers a lot that run it. But the nice thing about that curriculum is that because the children are studying on their own, you don't have to do a lot of training before somebody can kind of step in and help in the classroom.
On your typical day, what time does it usually start?
We open the door for the first staff members to come in at 5:55. And the kids are usually down for bed around 8:30. Yes.
What particular do you have available for someone that say?
What do we have available for them to do? Everything. Everything. If you can build, we can use you. If you can teach, we can use you. If you can just sit in a rocking chair and hold a baby, we can use you. If you can farm, we can use you.
I can do that.
Yeah. If you can dig a ditch, we can build. We can use you. I mean, we basically can use every kind of volunteer, and that's something too that we believe the Lord does as part of our ministry is people that come in find their own lives changed. We have a young man who's with us right now who saw the storm damage and just said, I think God wants me to go. And his mom was just about to encourage him to go because he was kind of in between things. And since he's been there, God has just gotten a hold of his life. He walked in on Tom singing with the children for Children's Church and just broke down and cried and walked out into the bush another day. And God told him, you need to stay here and help out. So he's now has a funding website up so that he can raise money to stay for at least a year and work with the kids. His life is completely changing. So while we're extremely grateful for his help with supervising the construction and reconstruction projects of the, you know, the storm damage, it's so exciting to be able to be an instrument of the Lord to see lives changed as well.
Do you have living accommodations?
Yeah, we have guest rooms. Yeah.
What is a typical, what do you call it where the children sleep? Do you have the girls like four to a room or six to a room?
Right now we have the boys as eight to a room, and then in the preschool bedroom there's eight beds in there, which is supposed to have boys and girls, and we're getting the girls' cottage built, which will have eight beds. And then the nursery has, I think, the possibility for 12 cribs. And I don't know, the math might be off on that, because we've squeezed a lot of extra cribs into the nursery, so I'm not exactly sure if my math is correct, but round about there.
You know, it seems like I remember last year Tom telling us that the door was closed, no more babies coming in because the house was full.
Yes, and that was still true. In January, our doors were firmly closed because we simply had no cribs left, and we didn't have the girls' cottage. And we got the call from the hospital saying that this woman had died in having a cesarean section and these babies needed a home. And I said, well, we're closed. We really can't take them. And they called back the next day, can you please take these babies? And I don't know. We'll have to think about it. Called again, can you take the babies? Okay, we're praying. Just give us a chance. And eventually, you know, we decided, okay, well, what we did is we put them in one of our volunteer guest rooms and stuck a lady in there because they were 4 pounds, less than 4 pounds each, really tiny. I don't know what happened if they pulled them early or the mother just hadn't eaten well, and it was touch and go with one of them at the beginning, and they both pulled through, but we couldn't have them with the general population of children. It was too much risk and germs and things. But, I mean, just like that, opening our doors to two tiny itty-bitty little babies increased our budget by $250, just like that. So that takes faith and belief that the Lord will come through, and he always does.
I brought that up to illustrate a point that even though there was no more room in the inn, so to speak, the family still grew.
Yes.
God had other plans.
Yes, and we're trying to we try to not do that too often because, you know, we really do pray about it because we don't want to grow to the point where we're not meeting the needs of the kids. You know, you don't want to have kids just shoved in every corner and, you know, not enough people to look after them. You want them to have their needs met. So it does, you know, it does take prayer and wisdom to make sure that we do accept them when it's the best timing.
They truly look like happy kids.
I think they are, yes. They are. Well, I would be happy to answer even more of your questions as you come back. And everything on the table out in the foyer is for sale. So if you see anything there that's interesting, we don't always do that because we, you know, oh, we'll get it on eBay later, and then we don't. So now, help yourselves. Find something interesting. And I'd love to answer more of your questions. Thank you for having me this afternoon. And thanks for the great potluck. It was wonderful.
Let me close this.
Let's all join. To you at this time, our blessed Savior and our Master, and hopefully our soon coming King, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for the great work that you're doing through the Moral Family. Dear God, not just anybody would go over there not knowing what they were going to be doing, where they would be staying, or anything else. But yet, Tom and Amy Morrow and six little children did, and you've certainly rewarded them well. In fact, Lord, I long to see when we all get home to you, their names on the great Hall of Fame of Faith. Anyhow, Lord, continue to provide all that these children need. Give these children great lives, even beyond the orphanage stage, all to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let no child go out of there, go there hungry or leave there hungry. May they not only be nourished with food, but Lord, may they continue to be nourished with a good education and with the knowledge of Jesus Christ and salvation in their hearts. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.